Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the City of Smack podcast. I'm Chris Chavez, and this is my show where I get the chance to chat with some of the biggest names on the track, on the roads, within the coaching ranks, and across the running industry. We love giving our listeners a shout out when they leave a review. So if you do so, leave your Instagram handle and I'll have a City of Smack sticker mailed out to you. I'm going to start mailing those out next week. So keep an eye out for a message as soon as I round up addresses. If you want your review to be read, leave us a five-star review and let us know why you love this podcast. This week's review comes to us from Emily Polanis, who wrote Running's MIP, Most Important Podcast. Chris absolutely slays every single episode, bringing us the most important nitty-gritty running information while keeping it light and fun along the way, helps build anticipation for all road races and track events, and helps us runners feel connected to the super fast runners we look up to. The commentating for the marathon trials was unmatched and absolutely electric, killing the game as always. That's what it's all about, bringing you closer to the pros, up to date on the top news and events, and excited about all the latest stuff. Thanks to Emily for that super kind write-up. The City of Smack podcast is supported by Bandit Running. Bandit is a performance running brand based in Brooklyn, New York. We worked with them last fall around the Chicago Marathon, and I still get a ton of compliments on my custom City of Smack Bandit hoodie. Founded in 2022, Bandit just had 9 athletes compete in the marathon trials, and they told their stories via a documentary-style series on YouTube called Dialed. Check those out on the Bandit Running YouTube channel if you're into some quality running storytelling. They also just relaunched their membership, a program that enhances your relationship with Bandit via early access to product, discounts, exclusive events, gear, content, you name it, the membership has got it. For a limited time, City of Smack podcast listeners get 20% off the membership and any product if it's your first time order by using code CITIUS20 at checkout. That's CITIUS20 at banditrunning.com. Thanks to Bandit for supporting the podcast. My guest for today's episode is Hillary Bohr. He is a 2-time U.S. Olympian in the steeplechase and the 3rd fastest American steeplechaser in history. He is preparing to make his half marathon debut at the United Airlines NYC Half on March 17th. This is a highly anticipated half marathon debut since Bohr ran 46:11 last year to break Greg Myers' 40-year-old American record of 46:13 for 10 miles at the Cherry Blossom 10-miler. He earned $50,000 in that process. I do ask him what he ended up doing with that prize money. Even with his track success, he has taken so well to the roads, and I'm excited for this one. In this episode, Bohr talks about his hopes for his career on the roads, why he thought Ryan Hall's 59:43 American record could be attainable down the road, what he's thinking about in terms of timing for his marathon debut, and why his training group under coach Scott Simmons has set him up for success. He also has unfinished business on the track as he looks to make his 3rd Olympic team this summer for Paris. If you enjoyed our recent episode with Ilkana Kabet, this one pairs really well with that one. They were former training partners in Colorado Springs, and Hillary shares some of his own story coming from Kenya from an accomplished running family, his NCAA career at Iowa State, and then joining the U.S. Army before his running career really took off. Thanks to New York Roadrunners for connecting us. As a New Yorker, I'm a regular at many of their races organized all throughout the year. They've got more than 60 events for adults and youth. If you're ever in New York and looking for a well-organized race, sign up and check out their full schedule at nyrr.org. Without further ado, here is Hillary Bohr. All right. It's February. It's been a while since we've seen our guest, Hillary Bohr, on the track, but you're back after missing some time in 2023 due to injury. Back to racing. We saw at the U.S. Cross Country Championships. It's going to be a while until we see you back on the track, but first, there's some special news. You're going to prepare for your first half marathon. You've got the NYC half coming up. How is everything feeling in training, and how's the body holding up?
First of all, thanks for having me. And, you know, I'm excited. It's been, last year was a rough year for me. I was really in good shape going to the transitioning the outdoor, and unfortunately, I broke my foot. I thought I was gonna be back really quick, but it took me how 3 months of complete do not doing anything. And I've been training slowly, getting back since October last year. And I'm excited. The training has been going on really well. It's been, I haven't been able to fully train 100% at this point, but I say I'm close to 95%, which is all I need at this time. So I've been running for a while. I think I still have the endurance in me. So I'm really excited for what's to come this year. And I'm looking forward for the year.
Why the NYC half?
In 2 years ago, I went to New York for the 5K. For the 5K, I was there for the whole weekend. It was really, really exciting experience. It's one of the best experiences I've ever had. So I ran a good 5K, and then I stayed for that marathon. And I liked the organization. Like, everything looked smooth, and the experience being running in the New York was, it just was like a good experience. So I looked back and I was like, I need to come back to New York. New York is the road runners really do a lot of good job. And I've been watching the races, and it's like I look at the statistics, like it's over 25,000 people running the New York half, and it's the only time they close the traffic on the
In
only
Times
time they
Square.
close in Times Square. So it's really exciting. And I think on top of that, I think the only thing I really wanted to do in New York is because the experience. I know my time in track is coming to an end, and I want to get back into just running a half in a big city, in big environment, and who knows about the future. So maybe move up from the to the marathon. But all in all, the organization at the New in New York Road Runners is just doing a really good job. It's not only the 5K they organize over 60 other events throughout the year. So I just want to be part of it.
I'm sad to hear you. You don't think about like the track your track career coming to an end. I don't think that's all that great to say. You're still a top contender in the steeplechase. Last year, even before the broken foot, you ran what was it, 9 or 8 8:11 in Rabat, and then that's the race that you broke your foot. So that those times are still you can still make teams in the steeplechase. You don't have to give up on the track so soon.
Last year I thought I had a head flat in me, and for sure I think I had a head flat in me. And when I broke my foot and ran 8:11, I literally jogged the last 150 because that was the last water bit. So I felt like I could have run 8:05 on that race, because when I broke my foot, I was with two other guys, and both of them ran 8:04. So in me, I felt like I could have run fast, because that was literally my second steeple of the year, and I had not done any specific training for steeplechase. The injury was a little bit scary. It came close to ending my career for sure. And looking back into it, I was like, okay, I've been in track for so long, and I really don't want to take another risk of this year is Olympic year, so for sure I'm gonna try give it another try for the steeplechase.
Okay, so take me back to the race in Rabat. When did you feel that something was wrong with your foot? And then after you get checked out by doctors, you said almost end of your career. What were the specific things about the broken foot?
Through the race, I was feeling really good. I was catching up with the second, the third and fourth guys, and then Kede from Ethiopia kind of ran across towards me, and I misread the last water bit. So instead of jumping through it, I kind of like slide through it and landed really awkwardly. And from there, I just feel the pain was just so painful, and I knew something was wrong. And so I went to Paris the day after, because I was supposed to run to Paris. But man, my foot was just too big, too painful. So I went to the hospital there. They checked it up, and I was just lucky. Like, if I broke 2 centimeters that aside, that would have been the end of my career. So I was just lucky to just broke it. Like, it was just like a lucky for me. So I didn't need any surgery to do for that. And so My broken foot is okay. The only issue I had a bone bruise on top of a broken foot. So bone bruise is the one I'm still dealing with it, and it's been a rough 6 months. Just the pain after the training is just too much. But the good thing allowed me to train, and the pain is kind of going away right now. So yeah, that was the experience for that event.
Wow. Because I remember you made the Instagram post telling people you broke your foot in Rabat and that was the end of your summer. So then what did you have any hope potentially that you were try and make it back for the US Championships, or you knew it was over?
I knew I wasn't even walking for the first 5 weeks. I was just sitting
Oof.
down, like I couldn't put any weight on my leg. So that's how bad it is, and that how bad was it. So and it was rough. I knew it was just the end of it. So at that point, I was like, if I get back, do I really need to do stewardess again? That's the fear of it just came to me. But you know, it's been a process. Olympic Training Center here did a really good job of making sure I get ready for this. And I went through the rehab for 4 months. I started training in end of September, and you know, get back slowly by slowly, and the body responded really well. So
You haven't started hurdling yet, right? Or have you done some drills?
no, I'm just doing some trails, just resembling like the leg I broke is the only the leg that I land during the water pit. So when I run, when I go through the barriers on at least on the other one, I use the other foot. So
Okay.
the only time I land on this foot is just during the water bit. So this I can literally change the way I jumped in that water bit and land on the other leg, and it would be less risky. But I don't know. I don't know. There's something we're looking into it. We're looking at like what we need to do to just get ready for the Olympic trials.
Yeah. So let's go back even before that. You were having an excellent spring. Like you went to DC, you ran Cherry Blossom, you broke the American record in the 10 mile, you ran 46.11. The previous record stood for 40 years, 46.13. That's 10 miles. Now you're challenging the half marathon. Does that run give you any confidence as you try to take on the half marathon for the first time, or does it feel like that was a different person?
I think it does. I think it does. Because before that, I won the USA 15K. I think I ran 14:11. And then a year before, like 6 months before that, I ran like 46:06 for the 10 mile in Minnesota. So I really had a good, I was just getting really comfortable there with the road racing. And looking back at it really doesn't come as a surprise, because the way I train, I don't train really like a steeplechase 1500 meter guy. So I train more like a 10K half marathon guy. If you know Scott Simmons training, it's more like a strength workout. So it was really easy for me to transition to the roads, and I was just getting ready to it. And you know, I was excited. I was planning to a little bit have and just to have. And you know, coming back from the injury, and I've had almost 18 weeks of really good training, solid training, and I feel like, you know, I'm ready for the half.
Over the last couple of years, there's been so many Americans who've said, like, all right, it's time. And because of the advances in shoe technology and everyone's training has changed, that it's like, all right, it's time somebody takes down the American record in the half marathon, which is still, what was it? It's 59:47, I think it is, 43 by Ryan Hall in 2007. Only guys who've gotten under 60 minutes, Galen Rupp, Lenny Carrier. Do you have, maybe not on the first try, but down the road, do you have that on your mind?
I had it last year. Like when I ran the Cherry Blossom, was very windy, right? And when I ran that time, I felt like I could have sustained that pace for a while. Plus the environment, I mean the wind, the temperature was very cold, and the wind was very, it was like 26 miles per hour, and I still ran like 46:11. So, and I felt like based on the training I was doing, we felt, coach felt like I could really called Under 16 that I have. And we've been planning on just getting a solid app, and then find a fast, really fast app, and it's really in my mind. So hopefully after the track season this year, I can find a really faster goals and try to get the America Truck with it out.
You got to go to Valencia. Valencia is a fake place. These times, crazy.
I've been watching it. It's like the times are crazy, and yeah, I think it's about time. It's about time, and I think we have a lot of guys, really good guys. If they put them at their mind it, I think there's a lot of guys they can go under that American robot. It's just like nobody has really tried to go and just get it.
So you've talked a little bit about how you train with Coach Scott Simmons and the group in general. Like a lot of some of these guys were just ran at the marathon trials, Shadrack, Paul Chelimo. And so how do you fit into those workouts? Because we see it on Instagram. You post the videos of you doing workouts with Shadrack, or just this past weekend, I think, or you did a long run with Zuhair Talvi and he went 38K. How much of it are you doing? Because it pays off in the strength building.
We do almost 90% of the workouts, all of us. Like there's no breaking down. The only time we have like separate is just like probably the last 3 weeks of or the last two workouts before a big major race. But all through the fall or spring training, we all do the same thing. So workout on Tuesday is literally the same. Workout on Friday is literally the same. The only difference is on Sunday. So like when I did a tempo that long run with Sue, so I went 32K, he went 38K. And for me, my long run, almost 8 years now, has been always between 18 to 22 miles, even during the track season. So that's really been a comfortable zone for me. So last fall, we did a lot of 18 miles in like 5:15, 5:10 pace for most of our long run. So that has been like what we do every fall, just to get ready for the track.
The marathon is calling for you, like it's it before you know it. But for you, I guess the plan for a marathon first, let's do the half marathon in March, probably not till 2025, right?
That's the plan. That's the plan. I really want to focus on making this Olympic here in the steeplechase. So I got two kids. You can hear them from the background. They've never seen me face-to-face race, and I'm really trying to make this Olympic trial for them, just to be there to watch me race. And I know I really want to go around the marathon. And if this year was not Olympic year, I don't think I would have come back to the track for sure. So since it's an Olympic year, yes, I have to come back to the track and make sure I finish a business in the track. And I'm looking forward. The latest for the marathon is probably in spring next year.
You're very smart when it comes to like studying the steeplechase. I mean, you said you were on pace to run like 8:05 potentially in Rabat before like the broken foot. And when I looked at, what Lametja Girma is running and Soufiane El Bakkali is running, you have to be in sub 8:10 shape to win a medal at the World Championships. Before this injury, did you think you were trending in that direction? Like I remember you did an interview with Let's Run and you even talked about potentially going after 8 minutes. And like we saw how close Evan Jaeger got in 2015. No one else has come close.
I think last year was really, really like I was really fit last year. And look, the guy who Biward, who was third, I've raced with him. Like I did a statistics, like I've raced with him almost more than 20 times, and I beat him most like three out of four every time. And I think for me, I think I had a big chance of medaling last year, based on how the race go. So based on my strength background, the way that race evolves, I think like I had a chance because I just needed to sit behind Biward and just try to outkick him. And going this to Olympics, fast US Olympic steeplechases is crazy now.
Oh, it's so
Like
crazy.
you have to we're probably gonna have like six, seven guys at 18 shave at the Olympic trials. So to make that team is not gonna be it's not going to be easy. So we have the you have the newcomers, the guys who just graduated from college, Hamilton, Rooks, who won last year the following, and then we have the whole guys. You still have Chega. So his routine is running really well. He's I train with him. He's really fit, and it's not gonna be easy. So my biggest goal is to make that team. But you know, if you make that team, really. Apart from Chega and Albakali, I know apart from Kirman and Albakali, like that bronze position is open. In reality, there's literally nothing we can do for the with those two guys. They are like one of the best talent we have ever had in steeplechase. I felt like both of them ran under 750 in steeplechase. So you have to really have a really amazing day, a great race to beat one of those. But for the that position, it's actually you have 6 to 7 guys or 10 guys who can sneak in under that position. So the biggest goal is to get ready to make the team, and then now to work on that finishing speed to try to be able to, you know, to get a medal.
So I'm looking, you have been running the steeplechase since 2008, and even in, you know, 2012, 2013, like you're competing at the time when Evan Jaeger's the top dog in America, number one. So can you explain to me or how the or the people who maybe don't follow the steeplechase so closely like you guys, what has there been anything major that has changed from the way Evan Jaeger used to attack these races? And now that Evan, you know, he's been injured the last couple of years and there's newer faces, there's you. How has the way the Americans run the steeplechase changed in the last 5 years compared to, you know, 2016, 2015, those years when it was just Evan? Now you've got so many different players who can make the race. Has it, what are the dynamics of the US steeplechase?
I think overall, like the US distance runners is just step up the game when it comes to race. Like you can look from the 1500, you know, look at that 5K. That 5K is crazy. Look at the 10K. So now I think for the fight of like everybody running fast, and then when you just go to the steeple, you automatically see other people running fast. And then again, if you look at, I think Chega made it easier for us, yeah, to just follow his footstep and just succeed. And not alone Chega. You remember 2017 when the women's steeplechase went 1-2 in London. And I think that's changed the perspective of Americans. Like, okay, you know, and other people can do it. It doesn't have to be the East Africans alone or like, So I know I was born in Kenya. I never trained in Kenya. And every time, like, I think US have the talent to compete with them. We just have to have the mindset. I think the only thing that we lacked in terms of steeplechase, especially in the US, is like we don't see a lot of these guys trying to go and run it down on league races. Because if you don't compete with them before, then you can't expect to compete with them at the championship. And that's the thing for me that helped me to improve is just like I try to get into all these diamond league races, just throw myself in the fishbone and just compete with them and see what I need to improve. So I think for years we have really good guys, and you see a few guys ran diamond league last year. It's a good trend because the more you run with them, the more comfortable you become. And then now running 8-10, before you will think running 8-10 is really tough. And then when you go there and run 8-10, be like, okay, it's not as bad as we thought. So, and I felt like the US steeplechase is going to continue improving in the both side. Women are just getting stronger and stronger, and the men is just catching up with the women.
The presenting sponsor of the City of Smack podcast is Olipop. You know we've been pounding Olipop for over a year now. 2023 was a track season to remember, and City of Smack was able to be there for all of the big moments thanks to the incredible support of Olipop. What has become known as the runner's soda isn't just a great companion for pregame shows or post-race shows, or if you're just watching at home and want to crack a can of Olipop open yourself, it's good for you too. It's a prebiotic soda with 9 grams of fiber, which is 32% of your daily needs, that only has 2 to 5 grams of sugar and helps your digestive health in a way that a threshold workout never could. We love it because there are 15 incredible flavors that will keep your body refreshed and ready to go for the next workout. My current favorite is lemon lime. Caitlin Tui's number one flavor is ginger lemon. There are other great flavors like vintage cola, tropical punch, orange squeeze, cherry vanilla, and I'm hearing rumors of another one coming soon. Sidious Mag podcast listeners get 25% off non-subscription orders by using code SIDIOUS25 at checkout at drinkolipop.com. You can also find Olipop at Whole Foods, Sprouts, Kroger, Target, Walmart, Publix, and most recently, they just got added to Costco, so pro tip there. Next time you're looking for a refreshing and healthy drink after that long run or hard workout, reach for an Olipop. You won't be disappointed. Drinkolipop.com, code SIDIOUS25. What is the difference when you go to Rome, Monaco, Doha, any of these diamond leagues? And is it the last 600, the last 400 where these guys just flip the switch and they go and you have to close as hard as it turns into a sprint at the end?
It's not actually the last, but it's the fast 1K.
Okay.
Because the fast 1K was always, they went out, they go out in 2:38. So in the US, I've never seen a race that goes out in 2:38. So like in that mindset, in the US, people try to just say, okay, if you go throughout in like 6 to 7, which is like 2:45, you may die. Right? But if you go there, you'll be probably be set close to behind, but you're still going out in 2:38 and just trying to survive the last 2K and trying to close again in the last lap. I think just like drawing away the mindset of like, okay, this is the best we have to go out. So just going there saying, I'm just going to race. Whatever best they go, I'm just going to stick in there and see how my performance would be. And that's make your body feels like, okay, if you go that and run like 8:08, when you're at the Olympic trials or like the US Championship, when you go through like 2:50, in your mindset is like, yeah, I've gone through 2:38 before. So you will think, your mindset thinks you have more in the tank at the end of the race than just, you know, getting used to just going through 2:45 every race.
Mm-hmm. So you talked a little bit about, you know, your backstory, you know, being born in Kenya. And I just did a whole interview with Elkana Kibet, and people loved hearing his story of, you know, the opportunities that have come when he came to the United States and why every time he's given the opportunity to run at the World Championships, he says yes. And so similarly for you, I guess, you come from a big running family in Kenya. Can you share a little bit of backstory for the people who maybe aren't as familiar? It's like everybody in your family ran.
Yes. So for us, like my uncle, actually, my first uncle came to the United States in, I think it was 1976. He went to Villanova University. His name was Amos Korir. He ran 8:18 in the steeplechase back in the day, like early 1980s. And then Barnabas Korir, who is the AK leader now, like for the Kenyan athletics, went to Iowa State in 1984 to 1989. So when we grew up, we just wanted to follow their footsteps. So we went to when we finished high school, all we could do was just like, you know, we were trying to get a scholarship because then when we graduated high school, we didn't have a lot of universities in Kenya. So if you don't get enough grades, so there's only like top 12% of the students who graduate high school get sponsorship by the government. And then they can go to universities. The rest, you have to find a way of paying for yourself to school or finding something else. So for us, we really didn't have a choice. It was like, okay, the only way is to, we saw our uncles came through the NCS system. And I ran a little bit in high school, but I wasn't really focused. So when I finished high school, I graduated 2005. That's when my uncle was like, okay, it's time for you to train and try to get a scholarship. By then, Corey Himmels, he coaches Poise, was Iowa State coach, and he was my uncle teammate. So it was an easy connection for us. And, you know, I was 17 when I moved to this country. That's 2007, January. And funny story, I started with University of Alabama because I had signed the national letter of intent, but the NCAA didn't clear me. So my brother Emmanuel was in University of Alabama, so I had to go back to Iowa State. And you know, the biggest thing for us at then was just trying to graduate from college. And me and my brother Emmanuel was, I'm the last born of seven, and then Emmanuel was second last born, and we are the first one to graduate from college. So that was the biggest thing for us, is just to graduate college. And did a bachelor's in accounting, and then did master's in accounting. And then, you know, I had really literally quit running in 2012 after I graduated from college. And lucky enough, they opened a program called MAPNE. You know, people talk about world-class athlete program. That's not a program. That program has been there forever. So everybody else, all international, has to go through MAPNE. This program was based on a language specialist. If you speak a certain language, certain dialogue, you go, they allow you to join the military. And I joined the military end of 2012, December, shipped to basic training. And by then, in my mind, I don't think I didn't think I was going to run again. And I was lucky enough to be stationed here in Colorado Springs, Fort Carson, where, because I was with finance. When I get to Fort Carson, that's when I met with Scott Simmons, and then they had a few guys from the World Class Athlete Program then. And you know, so that was 2013. 2013 to 2016, I was working full time because I didn't have the time to join the World Class Athlete Program. I had only run 8:32.01, and they needed 8:32.00.
Oh my
So, but I,
gosh.
yes, but I continued training with them over the weekend. Lucky enough, I had really good leadership with my military. So in the army, if you go to a unit and you have good leadership that understand what your goals are, so they allow me to train in the morning, just like Elkanah explained. Like I used to do just what Elkanah did, like train, wake up at 4:30, train, and then report to work at 9 to 5 from 2013 to 2016. So
Wow.
when I met that Olympic team, I was actually in a regular unit working at full time. And then when I met the team, so they allowed me to join the World Class Athlete Program. So putting all these perspectives together, if it was not for the United States, especially the Army, I don't think I would have still been running right now. So joining the Army gave me the opportunity to just continue with my talent. And you know, it's been a blessing. It's been a blessing. I remember January 2016, we were getting ready to deploy to Qatar, to Afghanistan, and me and my brother Julius were in the same unit. Back then, they were like, "Okay, we're not gonna deploy two brothers to same location." I guess it comes back from, I don't know if you watched the movie Private Ryan
Yeah,
back
Saving
in
Private Ryan.
the
That's exactly what I
day.
was thinking about.
So they were like, "We can't send two brothers in the same location." And my unit commander was like, "Okay, you staying back, and then your brother go." And me staying back led to me making that Olympic team in 2016. So I've come, like, the Army has given me all these opportunities, especially the being a United States citizen now has given me all these opportunities. And looking at back at my schoolmates, some of them are teachers. I mean, like, yes, they have opportunities, but being in United States give you a great opportunities to just achieve your dreams, the things that you could have t you never thought you'd have achieved in your career. I never thought I would be a two-time Olympian. I've never thought I would have met all these world championship teams. And here now, 18 years now in America, I'm like met three world teams, two Olympic teams, and it's a blessing. I got two kids, almost 7 and 3, born here. They know nothing about Kenya, so it's a blessing, and I'm enjoying every process. So,
It's a beautiful story. I mean, it's really what the American dream is all about. Do you ever have those moments, I guess, with your brother Julius, where he went, you stayed back, Do you ever talk about like, oh, that decision changed everything?
Yes, I always tell him I owe you a lot. So it's like it literally changed everything. 'Cause like the biggest change was the mindset for me when the whole unit left, and I think there were three of us who left behind. We were like, man, this is just like seeing what the military is doing, and seeing these guys go to deployment, and for me to stay behind, I was like, okay. Just continue running and just be walking. It changed my mindset of on how I approach things, especially like being a discipline and be resilient. And that just changed the whole trajectory for my running career.
So when I look at just sort of, your place in American distance running history, it's like there's not enough, I think, attention to the fact of how consistent you've been, five-time US champion. You made two Olympic teams. Obviously, Evan Jaeger was the guy who took the United States steeplechasing to the next level, and he's got, the Olympic medal, to back it up. But it's like, I think for you, do you ever think about like your place in US running history, because it's very accomplished right now, but I don't think as many people celebrate it.
Really? No, I just don't think about it. It's for me, it's a process. I just want to show people that it's possible. 'Cause like, man, I graduated in 2011 in college. Like the only person still there right now that I probably saw him in college was Checker, but he was only in college for a year.
Yeah, right.
So it's just showing people that consistency, being disciplined and resilient. You can really perform at the highest level for long as you can. And I'm trying to continue just pushing the barrier. And like Elkanah say, I won't be surprised to see Elkanah in 2028, because it's just like it's a mindset now with the new technology, the new shoes, and everything changes on how the performance speak. Like before, if you are in mid-30s, they'd be like, okay, it's time for you to retire. But now your midnight 30s is like, okay, it's your peak. It's time for you to peak. So it's just trying to show people that you can perform at the highest level as long as you take care of your body, you're disciplined and resilient, and just listen to coach. And I can, I guess, I've been lucky. I've had two coaches in my life. So my college coach and Scott Simmons. So nothing has changed for me. I'm just keep doing the same things over and over and over, I guess. Doing the same things over and over makes you better. So that's the message I'm trying to just show the kids and other people like it's possible.
No, I love that. All right, Hillary, my final question for you is, aside from the Olympics, Olympic trials, what are you most excited about this year in particular? A lot of new things for you coming up.
I think for me, the biggest is the new guy up right now, because like, yeah. In my mind, I've always wanted to move up the ladder. Like, I never enjoy doing workout on the track. I always enjoy doing long runs, doing tempo runs. Those are my favorite training. So I'm really excited to run the New York Half. I'm gonna do the 15K before that, and but running the New York Half is just an excitement for me. And again, like I said, I got two kids that have never seen me run, and Olympic trials would be the biggest thing for me. I'm gonna show them that, if you are disciplined and put in work, you can achieve your dream. And for me, if I get lucky to make that Olympic team, that would be probably my greatest accomplishment. 'Cause at first, I never thought I would be an Olympian. Like to have a chance to put myself in a place to make the third Olympic team is all that I have in my mind right now.
Oh, random thing. You got what, a $50,000 bonus last year for the American record at that race? What'd you spend it on?
I just told you I got two kids. I put
Yeah, right.
some in the kids' fund, and then they are 529 kids' school, and
Smart. That's a smart way to spend the money.
just trying to save as much as I could for them. So, 'cause like for me, I grew up with didn't have a chance, like didn't have the money. So, like I didn't have the shoes going to school until high school. So I walk barefooted for a while. So it's just like thinking about all those little things. It's just trying to save as much to make sure they have a better life than what I have. So it's
Yeah.
basically saving for them, yes.
I mean, when Edward Cheswick used to tell the stories about him running 10 kilometers every day to school in the morning, you know, it sounds crazy. But then when I went to Kenya last summer, you know, driving from in Kaptagat in the early mornings, you could see on the side of the road, there's so many kids just like that. And like you said, sort of sometimes barefoot, sometimes with shoes. They're going such a long way. That was you back in the day, too?
Yes, back in 90s, yes, that's basically me. I used to see Kipchoge before he started training, because Kipchoge lives is close to my neighborhood, but he lives in that side of the village where I went to school, and he used to buy milk and sell it. So every time I go to school in the morning, I used to meet him coming to our village to buy milk. That's like 97. So back then we didn't have no shoes back then, so we just go to school, walk on the rocks. But hey, it's good experience to make you taller.
That's a good Kipchoge story. I never heard that one.
Yeah,
Hillary, I appreciate you taking the time for this, and I'm super excited to welcome you to New York City in a couple of weeks, and I'm excited for this half marathon debut.
thank you for having me, and thanks. Hey, keep doing what you are doing. You're creating a lot of exposure for sport, and we need more of that. So
I appreciate that. Thank you all for listening to this episode. This episode was produced by Jasmine Fair. I love doing this for you guys, so please do me a favor and leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. That helps us grow the show and get even more awesome guests. Let me know what you're enjoying about the show. Make sure you're subscribed or following on your favorite podcast players. Please share this episode with your friends if you think that they'll get any value or inspiration out of it. Let's build this thing together. Visit CityusMag.com for a lot more. We've got a brand new website with tons more articles, videos, and podcasts. As always, I love track and field. I'm Chris Chavez. See you next time.